Chicken of the Sea brings you the Edgar Bergen Show with Charlie McCarthy.
Now, Clip, you say help me, I'll mow you down.
It's Sunday night, and time again for Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Nerd, and Ray Noble and his orchestra, brought to you, transcribed by Chicken of the Sea, the greatest name in seafood. Tonight, our guest is David Niven.
When you want the choicest cuts of tuna,
the tuna of top quality, look for Chicken of the Sea.
Miss Chicken of the Sea is on the label.
Miss Chicken of the Sea is on the label.
Yes, Miss Chicken of the Sea, with her long blonde hair and her magic wand, is on the label of America's best-selling, best-tasting tuna. On the label of Chicken of the Sea, the brand that gives you the choice center cuts of tuna at a budget price. Right now, you can enjoy these choice tuna center cuts in a great new seafood product. Chicken of the Sea frozen tuna pie. Chicken of the Sea deep dish tuna pie. Surprise and delight your family by serving this most delicious new food treat for lunch or supper tomorrow. It's just arrived at your food store. And now, here is Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy.
A woman, oh, what can she be? Whoever she is, she's necessary. I wonder where that gorgeous blonde is that I saw come in here. Hey, Dreamboat, toot your whistle, will you?
Oh, Charlie, are you chasing girls again?
Naturally. I'm wearing my After Six tuxedo. Those are my wrestling clothes. I see. Oh, she's so pretty, Birgit.
Yeah, beautiful.
Oh, beautiful golden hair of hers. Why, it was long, longer than a TV commercial.
It was. A girl with long golden hair.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Charlie, that reminds me of a story.
Well, what doesn't? Well, I don't.
Long golden hair happens to remind me of Rapunzel.
Oh, what's that? Swedish for I wish I had some?
No. How would you like me to tell you the story of Rapunzel?
Tell it in sign language after dark.
No. Well, I'll tell it.
Oh.
Once upon a time...
Oh, Gad, must you put in all those details?
Yes. Once upon a time, there was a witch.
Yeah, and her broom went into the stall. She did a tailspin. Crash. The end.
All right.
It's over.
No. Now, this witch was very evil.
Yeah?
At times, she even murdered people.
Well, so what? You can't like everybody.
No. Rapunzel was the most beautiful girl in the country, and the wicked old witch locked her up in a tall tower that had no stairs and no doors.
No stairs and no doors, huh?
Yeah.
How did she get her up there in the first place, then?
Well, I,
yeah?
Could
we elaborate on that a little?
Yeah. Well,
I love to louse him up.
I shall go on with the story.
Well, that's a nice out.
Yeah. Rapunzel was lovely, and she had long golden hair.
You're back to that again, all right?
No. Not necessarily, no. As I say, she had long golden hair growing clear down her back.
Too bad it wasn't on her head.
Oh, well, it was. Now, the witch made Rapunzel braid her long hair into a sort of a ladder. And when the witch wanted to go into the tower, she would call,
Rapunzel, let down your golden hair. Just use your own voice, Bergen, yes. It's gruesome enough.
All right. Now, in this country, there also lived a Prince Charming, and one day this handsome prince stumbled across Rapunzel's tower.
He must have had a snootful.
Now, let me see, where was I?
You were standing right there.
Yeah.
Stabbing radio in the back.
All right. Now, when the witch went away, the prince called to Rapunzel to let down her hair, and the prince climbed up.
Yeah? That kid's hair has more traffic than the freeway.
When the witch returned, she found out that the prince had been there, and she flew into a rage.
She did?
Yeah.
Actually flew into it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Civil Aeronautics Administration grounded her broomstick.
No. So the witch took a pair of scissors, cut off all of Rapunzel's hair, and then do you know what she did?
Tried to talk her into a shave and a shampoo.
No. When the prince came back again, the witch let down Rapunzel's hair, and the prince cried, "I've come for you, my Rapunzel."
Yeah?
And the witch, of course, just laughed and laughed.
She did?
Yeah.
She... Things are certainly different today. Can't get a laugh on a lie like that now.
No. So the prince hurriedly climbed the tower, and when he looked in the window, you know what the witch said?
Down, prince, down.
No. No, the first thing she did, she let go of the hair ladder, and the prince fell to the ground. And as he lay there helpless, the witch cackled and cackled.
Yeah? Why should she cackle? You're laying the egg.
All right. Then the wicked witch hid Rapunzel deep in the forest, and for days Prince searched for her. Then one day he heard a beautiful voice singing in the forest. See, tra-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. She was singing even though her heart was broken.
Sounds more like she had a broken leg.
No. The prince recognized this beautiful singing.
Was that beautiful singing?
Yes. What did you think it was?
I thought it was a gopher caught in a trap.
No. And so the two lovers were reunited.
Oh, goody.
And the prince became king, and Rapunzel became his queen.
And they raised a lot of little face cards. The end. Good night, everybody. All right.
And now here is Ray Noble in the orchestra with the Mellow Men and their version of You Were Only Passing By.
You were only passing by, and then you caught my eye. What a thrill, my heart and I stood still. Lucky for me that you came strolling into view. I took one look and knew you were now passing by. Ooh.
Darling, I never dreamed that I'd discover a passerby who'd be my love.
From now on we'll walk together, and the world will seem so grand as we go hand in hand, you and I passing by. C'est son me voir, sans me donner d'espoir. Adieu, bonsoir. Sans me donner d'espoir. Adieu, bonsoir. Bonsoir.
Wait, though April shower may come your way, it still takes fertilizer to grow the hay. Yep, that's the way it grows.
Yeah, Mortimer, you do look a little tired.
Yeah, well, I am. I've been busier today than a one-armed paper towel.
One-armed paper?
Yeah.
Busy at what?
Well, I just went into business with my cow, Bessie.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. We started a self-service milk route.
A self-service milk route?
Yeah. Yes, we did.
I see.
I bring Bessie up to the customer's door, and the rest is up to the customer. Oh.
You mean the customer's milk Bessie?
Yeah. You know, these days, people like to take things in their own hands, you know?
Yeah. Well, I must say, it's a rather unique innovation.
Well, I must say I can't understand what you said.
Well, I mean, this self-service milk route is a new idea.
Well, not exactly, no. I got the idea from those self-service gasoline stations.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Only I've got to figure out how to put a bell on Bessie's tank.
Oh, I see.
I've got to know how much she's given out.
Oh, yeah. How do your customers do?
Well, some of them can milk a cow real good. Others just don't seem to get the hang of it. I see. One of my customers still uses the old necktie method.
Oh? Necktie method?
Yeah.
Well, all right, what's that?
Four in hand.
Oh, I see.
Oh, you went for that one, didn't you?
Yeah. Do you sell cottage cheese, too?
Yes, when the road gets real rough, we do.
How much money do you make a day?
Well, let me see now. I ain't quite sure.
Approximately.
No. But pretty close to that, though. I got to share it all with Bessie, you know. We're partners.
Your partners,
yeah.
Oh, I see.
Well, she's the brains of the outfit. Uh-huh. Besides, she carries the merchandise and the sample case.
I see. Well, you do your share of the work, too.
Oh, sure, yeah. But she's better at giving milk, and I'm better at selling it.
I see.
Of course, later on, we may change off.
What was that?
Hmm?
Oh, what was that?
I say, I think we better just go right on.
Yeah, I see. How long does it take you and Bessie to cover your milk route?
Well, from the time we start till the time we get through.
Yeah.
Sometimes longer if it's raining.
Yeah. Who do you deliver milk to?
Well, my best customer is the Snurdville Hospital.
Oh,
yeah, maternity ward.
Oh, I see.
Of course, I always hurry away from there, though.
Yeah.
Why? Well, who knows? That stuff might be catching.
Oh. Now, let me explain about that, about this, Mortimer. Mm-hmm. You see, you can't possibly, maybe we better go right on.
Yeah.
Who are some of your other customers?
Well, we also stop at Snurdville Sanitarium. That's an asylum there.
Asylum?
Yeah, I see.
Snurdville has a mental institution?
Yeah. Nice, friendly people there. Every time I leave, they always say, "So long, we'll be seeing you soon."
Yeah. Well, those people in there, don't they seem rather peculiar?
No, only to people who ain't.
Oh, I see.
Of course, there's one fella in there who kept turning around and around. Every time I went, he was always turning around and around. Darn the thing. You see, he thought he was a lighthouse.
Oh, I see. Well, that's an interesting case.
Well, it had a rather sad finish.
Oh, I see. But
what
happened?
Well, he wound up screwing himself into the floor.
Oh, I see. Well, where else do you deliver milk?
Well, I bring Bessie to practically every place in Snurdville except the Boy Scout camp.
Oh, I see. And now, why not the Boy Scout camp?
Well, you know them Boy Scouts. They like to tie knots and everything. I won't go.
When you go shopping for tuna in your food store, are you sometimes as confused as this lady is by all the different brands?
I want to make a tuna casserole for supper. But which brand of tuna shall I get? Now, let me think. There is one brand that's much better than the others. That's the one with the choice center cuts. But I just can't remember what it's called.
Excuse me, madam. But the name you're trying to remember is Chicken of the Sea. That's the brand with the choice center cuts of tuna. The choice center cuts that make every tuna sandwich, every tuna casserole, every tuna salad so extra tasty and delicious. Please remember that name, madam, Chicken of the Sea. It'll save you lots of trouble when you go tuna shopping tomorrow. Chicken of the Sea, the brand that made tuna famous. Just one taste of those choice center cuts, and you'll never buy ordinary tuna again. Just one taste, and you too will be singing,
Tuna, tuna.
When you want the choice of cuts of tuna,
the tuna of top quality, look for Chicken of the Sea.
Miss Chicken of the Sea is on the label.
Miss Chicken of the Sea is on the label.
3 million, 4 million. I'll be so rich I'll be able to get rid of my guppies and buy a real mermaid instead.
Charlie, where's all this money coming from?
Well, you see, I'm going to be a big television producer, and I called David Niven and told him about my proposition, and he's coming over to discuss it.
In fact, he's here. Yes.
David, old top, old chum, you're going in with me on this television deal, aren't you, pal, huh, pal?
Well, Charlie, I've thought about your proposition, and you're such a good friend of mine that I haven't the heart to say no to you.
Thank you.
So call my agent, and he'll turn you down.
All these English, he hit me with a slow pitch. But, David, I got some great talent lined up.
I'm sorry, Charlie, but I'm already doing 4-star Playhouse, and I alternate with Dick Powell, Charles Boyer, Ronald Coleman, Joan Fontaine, Lily Palmer.
Yeah, well, of course, they're a nice bunch of kids, but wait till you hear the talent I have. Dave, have you ever met Sam Kragenheimer, Lulu Ballpoint, Abernathy Quackenbush?
No. Can we keep it that way?
Yeah. Now, don't be difficult. Now, look, David, just run through the script. You won't regret this, really. Oh, Lulu. Now, this Lulu Ballpoint is another Sherry North.
Well, this rather puts things in a different light. Tell me, Charles, is she unattached?
Well, I may be a little loose here and there, but I managed to hold together.
Charlie, this is a little old lady. I thought you said another Sherry North.
Yeah, but I didn't tell you how far north.
I didn't think we'd reached the Arctic Circle.
Oh, yeah.
I've still got it. You should see what happens every afternoon when I walk past the porch of the old men's home.
Do you get whistles?
No, but you ought to hear their wheelchairs squeak.
No.
Yesterday I wore a low-cut gown and blew out two of their tires.
Oh, I've had it.
That's what the old men said, too.
Madam, may I ask how old you actually are?
Well, let's see. I was born on the first stagecoach from Omaha to Cheyenne.
Yeah, I bet that was rough on your mother.
Oh, it certainly was. She was the driver. But she only came in 20 minutes late on the run.
You know, you're such a sweet old lady. I can't see why you shouldn't be in a television show with us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'll be right back.
One of our stars. Now you're going to meet our second star, Abernathy the Midget.
Midget?
Yeah. Abernathy.
You want me, boy.
You ain't Abernathy the Midget, are you?
Oh, I'm his twin brother, boy.
Twin brother? He's 85-pound midget, and you're a 200-pounder. It's impossible.
Well, my mother used to let us share the same bottle, and I was such a pig. Oh.
What experience have you had?
Well, I'm a master plumber. Here's my card.
Yeah, it's quite a card. What a unique coat of arms you have engraved on it. 2 cross plunges over a can of Drano.
Thank you, boy. We come from an old plumbing family. My grandfather was the first plumber to invent faucets labeled hot and cold.
No kidding.
Yep. Before that, when a woman sat down in a tub, she didn't know whether she was going to say, ah, or, woo. Well, I'll be back for the play.
Old ladies, plumbers. Who's the third star, Charlie?
Well, let's see. Oh, he'll be a little late. Let's get started. He'll be here. Here's the script, David. Music, Ray.
Music.
My name is Captain Smythe Smith. My father was an English lord with the gout. And my mother was an upstairs maid. I was born on the second floor, but that's another story. Oh, Charlie, this is terrible.
Just read it. Don't score them.
Our story starts when the company I work for sent me overseas to a steaming tropical jungle in South America, where I took charge of a huge plantation. There was trouble, and I sent for one of my overseers.
You sent for me, Captain Smythe Smith?
Yes, McCarthy. There are rumors my wife has been visiting you.
That's ridiculous. I live 50 miles upstream, and all your wife has is a rowboat.
That's what's worrying me. You should see the water blisters on her hands. McCarthy, this is serious. I got to talk to you about my wife.
Okay, what do you want to know?
Well, perhaps my wife should be here. I'll have the butler call her. Raymond, where's my wife?
She's upstairs, sir, taking her bath.
But we don't have a bath.
Yes, obstinate old thing, isn't she?
I wonder how she manages it. Raymond, while we're waiting for my wife, will you serve tea?
Very good, sir. As soon as your wife gets out of the teapot.
Oh, that's how she does it.
I wondered why she had that fragrance of orange pickle.
Charles, I want to tell you, I understand about my wife. After all, she's the only woman within 1,000 miles, and all you young men the company send out go mad about her. I can't say I blame them. She's so beautiful, so ravishing. Ah, here she comes now.
Hello, darling.
I think we've all been in the jungle too long.
Dearest, look who's here. McCarthy.
Why, how do you do, Charles?
There can't be anything between them. They're shaking hands.
Oh, there goes that darn water blister again.
I'll have to get her an outboard motor.
I can't stand it, this suspicion. The natives revolting. My mind is going.
Don't worry, darling. The company will take care of you.
Yeah, they're sending you the famous Viennese psychiatrist, Dr. Wolfgang von Knackwurst. He's just left Vienna by plane.
Ah, what a long trip I had. But good evening, patient. I will make my examination immediately. Have you got a couch?
Yes.
Have you got a chair?
Yes.
Maybe I could sell you a little coffee table?
Please, doctor, I get cold chills.
No, well, it sounds like malaria. I'll examine you with my stethoscope. Oh, well, how do you like that? I forgot my instruments. I'll have to go back to Vienna to get them.
Once a plumber, always a plumber.
Don't go out there, Dr. von Knockwurst. The natives are beginning to revolt.
That's right. They're reverting to cannibalism. They've got a huge pot of boiling water, and they'll boil any white man alive.
Ah, that is ridiculous. Here I go.
Anyone for knockwurst and sauerkraut?
I know the natives have been complaining, but why have they suddenly gone mad?
Let's open the window and listen. Maybe we can find out.
Who stole the wedding bell? Loo-loo-loo-loo-pa-loo.
Somebody bad stole the wedding bell. Somebody bad stole the wedding bell. Somebody bad stole the wedding bell.
Now nobody can get married. Who got the ding-dong? Who got the bell? Who got the ding-dong? Who got the bell? Somebody know, but nobody tell, cause somebody bad stole the wedding bell.
You got the ding-dong.
I don't got that, but we got sarsaparilla soda on the ice. We got shoes and rice and free advice. We got a bridal suite and honeymoon hotel. But what good is that without a wedding bell?
Who got the ding-dong? Who got the bell? Who got the ding-dong? Who got the bell?
Somebody know, but nobody tell, cause somebody bad stole the wedding bell.
Who got the ding-dong?
Who got the ding-dong?
Say, who got the ding-dong?
Hey, who that say who got the ding-dong when I say who got the ding-dong, huh?
We got souls by the island singing fun. We got lots of sun and lots of sun. We got a lover's moon, we got a wishing well. And oh, how I wish we had a wedding bell.
Somebody bad stole the wedding bell. Somebody bad stole the wedding bell. Somebody bad stole the wedding bell. Now nobody can get married. Nobody can get married.
Who got the ding dong? Who got the ding dong?
Somebody know, but nobody tell, cause somebody bad stole the wedding.
got the bell?
Who got the bell?
Who got the bell?
Who got the bell?
Who got the bell?
Close the windows. The natives are going to attack. They're attacking now.
The company will save us. Look. Here come reinforcements led by Captain Carruthers Carruthers. Charlie, who plays Captain Carruthers Carruthers?
Oh, it's that other actor. Here comes Carruthers Carruthers now.
I have arrived.
If anybody names it, they can have it.
Captain Smite Smith, the company never fails. I have brought you something for your malaria.
Wonderful. What is it?
Mosquitoes.
I'm the producer, and even I'm getting sick.
And Mrs. Smart-Smith, I brought you something for your bag.
Oh, what is it?
A tea bag that floats. Now I must go back out across the burning jungle, through with the pythons and the ants and the
cannibals. Just a minute. Hold it. That's the worst acting I've ever seen in my life.
I resent that remark. I had personal coaching from the author of this script himself.
The author himself? Who wrote this anyway?
What was the query?
Oh, no!
Oh, that tuna pie.
You hear it on the lips of housewives everywhere.
Oh, that frozen tuna pie.
And why shouldn't everyone be talking about it? It's America's great new one-dish meal. But just be sure that when you buy your tuna pie, you buy the tuna pie. Chicken of the sea tuna pie. This is the tuna pie that's made not with ordinary tuna, but with the best-tasting portions of tuna. Chicken of the sea's choice center cuts. This is the tuna pie whose rich gravy base contains no dry milk solid, but pure country fresh milk and creamery butter. So for the easiest meal you ever served, stop by the frozen food section of your food store tomorrow and lift out a package of Chicken of the Sea Tuna Pie, the tuna pie. Another fine product of Chicken of the Sea, the brand that made tuna famous. Now, here is Edgar Bergen.
I would like to thank David Niven for joining us tonight. And before we go, it's time for another bit of sage advice from our rural philosopher, Mortimer. And here he is with Nerd's Words for the Birds.
Bird in the hand, tickles.
Thank you, Mortimer. Until next Sunday, good night, everyone.
Remember to listen to Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Snerd, Ray Noble, and the entire ensemble, brought to you by Chicken of the Sea, the greatest name in seafood, over the CBS radio network at the same time. David Niven may be currently seen in United Artists production, The Moon is Blue, and will soon be seen in The Love Lottery. Tonight's Edgar Bergen Show with Jack Kirkwood, Gloria Gordon, and Charlie Cantor was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Sam Pierce, script by Norman Paul, Cy Rose, and Zeno Klinker. This is Bill Baldwin speaking. Next week, the Edgar Bergen Show with Charlie McCarthy will be brought to you by the makers of famous Lanolin Plus cosmetics for lovelier skin and beautiful hair. Lanolin Plus, its very name promises you new softness and smoothness for your skin and a shining new luster for your hair. And even if your beauty's on a budget, you can have the very best. For most Lanolin Plus products cost such a tiny price. Only a dollar and tax at all cosmetic counters.
This is the CBS Radio Network.